And now, it's time for World of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of World of Prophecy. You know, not too long ago, I was reading a political science book, and it had the complete Gettysburg Address of Abraham Lincoln. And I read that, and it's one of many times I had read the address. It's greatly inspirational, three score, years ago, our forefathers brought forth unto this continent a new nation conceived. You probably know much of the wording of it. I can't state it out verbatim, but the point is this. It's a beautiful, and really in just a few brief passages, it is a beautiful address examining the fact that our forefathers brought forth to this nation the principles of liberty and justice and freedom. But what would you say if you were to get a version of the Gettysburg Address and entire sentences were missing? Maybe half the thing was gone. Wouldn't you feel that you were sort of robbed of your heritage, cheated of something very important? What about the Declaration of Independence? If you visit Washington, D.C., and you looked in that great glass case, you saw the original document, but you noticed that someone had taken a black magic marker and just marked out significant passages of the Declaration of Independence. Would it make you feel like your history had been dirtied? Would it? What about the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution that guarantee you freedom of speech, freedom of press? What if you found that three, let's say, of the 10 amendments suddenly one day were just missing? They were just gone, as if they had never existed. How would it make you feel? Would it make you feel a little bit shaky, a little bit uncertain of your heritage, maybe of your future? Well, my friends, this is exactly what has happened to the Word of God. Because God gave us a pure word. He says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He has preserved His word from the very beginning. He breathed it inspirationally by divine miracle direct into the minds and hearts and the pens of the apostles and the prophets. They wrote it down verbatim. They couldn't do otherwise. It is literal in every way. And since God said He would preserve it and it is pure, then it must be brought forth from generation to generation in its entirety, in its accuracy, in its majesty. Now, that's what the Bible tells us about its own word. Because God holds His word above His name. That's what it says too in the scriptures. But what, again, if you were to go and purchase or obtain a Bible, this preserved word of God, and you found that entire passages were stricken? It is as though someone took a pair of scissors and cut out certain verses and words and paragraphs, and then others they mangled and distorted and chopped and diced, and it really doesn't even mean the same thing, and certain sections are taken out. How would you feel? Would you feel confident that this was truly the Word of God? Of course not. My friends, would you be angered if somebody tampered with the Declaration of Independence or the Bill of Rights or the Gettysburg Address? I would. How much more then are you offended when men and women tamper with the Word of God? Well, I have as a guest on my program today a woman who I'm going to ask her in a minute, but I believe she was offended. I believe she was angered with a righteous indignation, and she set forth to do something about it. Now, as you listen to this this Christian lady tell about some of the atrocities and abominations found in these satanic new so-called Bible versions, I want you to ask yourself, should you be angry? Should you not be offended? And then ultimately, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit by and idly take it? Are you going to let the Word of God be destroyed and demolished as if it could be, but then God calls on us to be doers of the Word and not just hearers? Will you be a doer of the Word and do something about these things? Or will you sit back and say, oh, it's so sad, it's so tragic, woe is us? Well, Gail Ripplinger didn't feel that way. She didn't say, woe is us. She said, we're a victorious church of God, the living God. His word is pure, and I'm going to expose these things. Gail Ripplinger, welcome to World of Prophecy.
Thank you for having me, Tex.
Now, I was looking at your address here, your ministry, AV Publications. That's, I'm assuming, authorized version.
That's right.
Publications. And you are now, oh, I don't know if you're headquartered, where your home is, Ararat, Virginia.
Right. Well, that's where the Ark landed, and the Lord has landed us here, and He's so precious and sweet to do it.
Isn't that Ararat, Virginia? Ah, maybe there's a little message there. I'm assuming that you didn't name it that yourself. Was it already named Ararat?
Yes, of course it was, and there's a place in the Old Testament that's in the prophecies, and it says that He's going to bring Ararat against the Antichrist, and so perhaps He's doing it in some small way through our work here.
Well, that is just amazing. You know, we moved our ministry offices about 3 years ago, but until that time from our founding, our address was Shiloh, Shiloh Court in Austin, Texas. And, of course, Shiloh, you know, as you know, Gail, is another name for Jesus. And maybe God is giving us a little message there, and maybe to you, too, a little encouragement, bringing you up where the Ark was, where His Ark of Protection landed, you might say. Well, Gail, you've written the book New Age Bible Versions, and later on in the program, I'm going to be offering these two new excellent books of yours, Which Bible is God's Word, and Blind Guides. The full title is King James Version Ditches Blind Guides. I just call it Blind Guides. Later on, my friends, we're going to be telling you how you can get your own set of these two wonderful books. But, Gail, there's always so much going on when the name Gail Ripplinger is mentioned in the Christian community. It appears that people that want to support the false versions, I call them the careerists, the professional clergy, they're very angry at you, aren't they?
Well, you know, the first person to turn over the tables of the money changers in the temple got crucified, Tex. And I consider myself in good company, because remember, the scribes in Mark chapter 12, verse 38, loved the marketplace. And so the saints were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name, and I'll rejoice in that also.
Mm. Well, they told lies about you, and some of them I've really been amused by. I mean, I hear they lie about you, and knowing you myself and having checked out your credentials and all of that is that we did, I find it quite amusing that they cannot win their case, you know, by logic or by sense, and certainly not by the Word of God. And so they create unbelievable things.
Well, it says in 2 Timothy, text in chapter 3, it says that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be false accusers. It's interesting, you know, in Romans chapter 13, verse 9, where it tells us not to bear false witness, that section's been completely omitted in the new version. So, unfortunately, the people who have the NIV haven't read that, so they're not reminded of it.
They don't know you're not supposed to bear false witness, because that's been taken out of their Bibles. Oh, I love it. See, there again, you've got to find amusement in these things, because God certainly holds them in, let's just say, derision. Well, I thought maybe we could discuss some of the things that are going on now, and of course, even the criticism you're getting, but looking at, let's just call it, the fantasy world of the new versions and what's going on. Now, for example, I was talking with my good friend, Dr. Joseph Chambers, recently, and I believe you've heard of this also. One of the things that is in your book, New Age Bible Versions, and I'd like you to just to briefly tell people about that, is the fact that some of the so-called scholars who worked on the new versions, well, they didn't fare too well. God evidently wasn't very happy. Some lost their voices. Others had to be committed to institutions. And something happened on the John Ankerberg show that brought this really into stark reality for today. Tell us about what happened to some of the these false teachers when they attempted to tamper with God's word, Gail.
Well, you know, Tex, Psalm 31 says, "Let the lying lips be put to silence." And God will not send his word forth void, and they will be put to silence. As you know, there's a chapter in my book, New Age Bible Versions, called The Silence Scribes. And it talks about how five different men who were on the New Version committees lost their ability to speak. And Zechariah lost his ability to speak, as you recall, in Luke chapter 1, because as the angel said, "Thou believest not my words." Well, on the recent airing of the John Ankerberg show, there were some men there who believed not God's words. He had invited the head of the NIV, the head of the New King James Committee, and the head of the New American Standard to represent their versions against some fellow believers who believed that the King James Bible was the Word of God, as we believe. Well, as he was taping the show, he posed a question to one of the heads of these new versions regarding the evidence in my book that the new version editors often lost their ability to speak. The camera went to a new version editor for his answer, and right there in front of a dozen witnesses, he lost his ability to speak. Okay, they all waited for an answer and waited, and when he couldn't speak, terror fell over all of the new version proponents. And finally, Mr. Ankerberg had to call a halt to the filming at that moment and cut the film. And the whole group was so shaken by what happened that it changed the tone of the entire show, according to the King James representatives that were there. One of the King James representatives, as you mentioned, Dr. Joseph Chambers, asked if Mr. Ankerberg was going to keep that in the videotape, and of course he did not. So we have duplicity of two kinds. We have the Lord showing his preference there, and Mr. Ankerberg cutting it out, just as they've cut the words out of the new versions. You know, they're poking holes in the believer's shield of faith when they drop all of these words out of the new version, and they're creating openings for the devil's fiery darts.
Mm. So here's Dr. John Ankerberg on the John Ankerberg show, heard on a number of television stations across America. Ankerberg appears from what I've heard, and of course I've been at various prophecy conferences with him, and I've spoken with John Ankerberg. I believe he literally despises the King James Bible. I really do. Won't have anything to do with it. And he set up these shows. He waited them. You know, I saw one of the programs myself, Gail, and there he is up acting like he's a neutral, referee asking questions, when really he's a despiser of the King James and a lover of the false new versions. And he had five so-called experts, the new version people, the heads of the various new version committees, and then he only allowed three King James people on there. So it was really 6-3. You know, that comes down to 2-1 odds against the King James. Well, I always say that's pretty good odds. You know, that's not bad. I mean, you know, that's pretty easy to beat 2-1 when only 2-1 against you. But in any case, here's Ankerberg, and they're going to try to make your research into a lie. And he asked this guy, and I believe it was Don Wilkins, wasn't it, the head of the New American Standard Bible Committee?
That's right.
Yeah, he asked Mr. Wilkins, was it true that men were evidently punished by God into silence, lost their voices, etc., because they worked on the new versions? And there, with the cameras rolling, Don Wilkins lost his voice. I think that is pure justice from God. And but what was really pure justice is that, according to Chambers, they taped like six programs. This was the only one they actually stopped the cameras. And Ankerberg said, we've got to cut that out. We've got to start over again because Mr. Wilkins lost his voice. And I think that's very significant that God did a mighty work there, made one of the new version editors or committee chairman actually lose his voice right in the midst of all of these false version officials. That is just, well, again, it's pure justice.
Well, in Psalms it says, the Lord shall cut off the tongue that speaketh proud things. And so there are many verses in the Bible, even in Proverbs, where it says the froward tongue shall be cut out. There are many verses that say lying lips will be put to silence, and evidently God did that. You know, we read in Revelation 16 about the frog in the throat that accompanies unclean spirits, and so it's a theme throughout the Bible, and we know our God is not dead. He's still alive, and he's still showing people his truth.
Boy, amen. Well, Gail, a lot of these guys, too, I have read things, and they say no reputable scholar believes in Gail Ripplinger's book, New Age Bible Versions. However, I know of Dr. Peter Ruckman, one of the greatest Bible scholars alive today, who has strongly endorsed your book. I know of Dr. D.A. Waite, one of the best-known Bible scholars of today and head of the Dean Burgon Society, who has strongly endorsed your book. I suspect that these liars will be proven wrong again and again. There must be a number of other scholars also that have endorsed your book.
Well, I received a letter from the Universidad Nacional in Spain from a Dr. Marineres, who's a professor of history there. And he said that he concurred with my research and that he has found that exactly the same thing has happened with the Valera version in Spain.
Mm.
I received lots of letters from people particularly who are working in the youth movement, from Mr. Bill Gothard, who is now advising his international organization to go to the King James, and he's showing my videos and recommending that people read my book. Perhaps you've heard of Mary Pride, who's written some excellent books on the New Age movement, and has written the Big Book of Home Learning.
Sure, she's a good friend of mine, wonderful Christian lady.
He said, quote, we were diehard NIV users for years, but this book convinced us otherwise. One of the most highly esteemed Christian colleges in the United States, the founder of the Abeka homeschool curriculum, is now recommending my book to its students and selling it in its bookstores. As a matter of fact, the Campus Crusade for Christ Missionary is translating the book into Korean. And those books that you have, Which Bible is God's Word and the Blind Guides, are also being translated into Korean by the same group. And incidentally, some people who have large monetary investments in the NIV and the New King James have switched based on reading my book text. Watchword Productions, who owns the exclusive video rights to the NIV, has now dropped the NIV based on my research. The gentleman loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, and he's exposing himself to potential bankruptcy by doing this, but he cannot go against his own conscience. The man who raised $1 million to promote the contemporary English version, Marv Steffens, read New Age Bible versions, and he has now renounced his own CEV Bible. Two members of the New King James Overview Committee have returned to the King James. One, for example, Dr. Curtis Hudson, ordered hundreds of copies of New Age Bible versions and sent them to leading Christians all across America at churches where he'd spoken the previous year as an apology for promoting the New King James. Now, he did this after he read my book. And finally, Tex, the entire Canadian arm of the International Council of Christian Churches passed a resolution unanimously to recommend the book New Age Bible versions and to stick with the King James version. I've gotten letters from Leonard Ravenhill. Al Whittinghill, the director of Ambassadors for Christ, is now warning missionaries worldwide about the corrupt Greek text. I could go on, but there'd be many more with us. The common people heard him gladly, and there are many out there who love the Lord Jesus Christ who are not among the scribes and Pharisees of today.
Mm. Well, you know, this is really interesting, and obviously they're going to really come against you because you're cutting into their profits. Now, we know that the King James Bible is not copyrighted, but the new versions are. You were telling me right before we began the program even about what has happened with the New American Standard Bible. Mr. Lockman of the Lockman Foundation, didn't he sue somebody recently because he claimed copyright infringement of God's Word?
Well, the Lockman Foundation's lawyers are a very active group of people. They've sent me letters, and I've ignored them, and sort of harassing letters, but they know they have nothing to base their charges on. But however, they sent a press release to a paper called The Christian News in the February 20th, 1995 edition, and in it they warned the Asian missionaries that they must pay royalties to them. And to me it's scandalous that wealthy Americans would hire lawyers to harass foreign missionary organizations who are simply trying to get out the Word of God.
You know, I had Reverend Herman Otten on my World of Prophecy some months ago. We were discussing the Colson-Newhouse atrocity that's been signed by Bill Bright and Chuck Colson and others, Pat Robertson, that promotes Roman Catholicism and says that Protestantism basically is dead and should go ahead and fold in with Roman Catholicism and all become one. That was the Catholics, Evangelicals and Catholics Together manifesto. And, of course, Otten is very solidly O-line Lutheran, and he's much against that document. But when I asked him about Bible versions, he was very nice about it. He said, well, I really don't know what all the commotion is about. I've never been King James only, so I don't know what the problem is on the Bible versions. And then it wasn't but about, of course, I told him there's quite a problem, and I think I actually sent him your book, Gail. My mind slips a little bit on that, but I believe I did. But amazingly, within about 6 weeks, the Christian News you're talking about, that same publication, had two or three page spreads about a new atrocity within the Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church, you know, his denomination. Evidently, they've come out with their own false Bible translation. They just call it God's Word. And it's a false Bible. And there is Herman Otten just... And I'm saying this in a nice way, and I'm delighted that he's doing so. There he is ranting and raving about this abomination known as God's Word, this false new Bible. And here was a guy who wasn't quite sure there was a real problem. Once he saw that even his own denomination, their publishing house, was putting out a new Bible version, and he showed all the false things, the wrong things in that Bible version, and maybe he's on his way. By the way, another person that has endorsed your book is James Lloyd. He's the publisher of the Apocalypse Chronicles, Christian media publication, and he has strongly endorsed your book. I've had him on my program, and he didn't know much about this issue. He knows a lot about Bible prophecy and some other areas. And reading your book completely turned him around. He had a big review of your book, and he's highly recommending it. At great expense, by the way, I might say, to him, because his publication goes out to Christian bookstores around America, and I'm sure they may start boycotting him because of his support for your book, and especially, of course, for the King James Bible. So God is doing wonderful things there, But Lockman's people, evidently, they don't like people quoting too much of their Bible. Is that the deal?
I think what the bottom line is, Tex, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Just don't use more than 200 words.
Yeah, according to copyright laws.
That's right.
Well, in other words, if you take the Lockman Bible, let's say that you just take the Gospel of John, you want to print it and give it out free of charge to 10 million Chinese, Mr. Lockman might just sue you.
Well, you know, the bad thing about a text is that these copywritten versions, for instance, the NIV, a dollar or whatever that goes from the purchase of one of those is going into these coffers. And as you know, the NIV is printed by Zondervan, which was bought out by Harper. Now, you know, Harper is owned by Rupert Murdoch.
Uh-huh.
Now, Rupert Murdoch, as described by the Chicago Tribune, now these are not my words, I wouldn't use words like this, but Mr. Royko of the Tribune did, he called Mr. Murdoch journalism's number one scumbag. And he also called him journalism's prince of darkness. And so what we have with the King James is a product of men like Tyndale, whose martyrdom for the Word of God is recorded in Fox's Book of Martyrs. What we have with the NIV is a man who owns Fox Broadcasting. Back in the first century, we had Herod. He was the first century Fox. Jesus said, go tell that fox. Well, now we have the 20th century Fox, which is Rupert Murdoch, who also owns, as you know, 20th century Fox movies. Now, Murdoch's Fox Broadcasting produces shows like Bart Simpson, The Models. The 20th Century Fox movies are just horrible and filthy movies. But when someone buys an NIV, a dollar is going into Mr. Murdoch's coffers. Now, Mr. Murdoch also owns the TV Guide. He's got TV satellites which cover Asia and Europe. And Time Magazine said he is the leader in the race to dominate the global media business. So this man is trying to dominate the media. Now, what we have happening here is three things. We have Harper San Francisco, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, which is also the printer of the NIV. They have a new Bible out called the Other Bible. Now, in that Other Bible, which they say in the preface is equal to the canon, in other words, they're saying it's equal to the Bible that we have, this Other Bible is a compendium of all the occult literature of all time. So this is produced by Mr. Murdoch, the owner of the NIV printing rights. Okay, also owned by and produced by Harper is the Pope's new book, Sources of Renewal. And so we have the occult Bible on one hand, printed by Harper. We have the Pope's book, Sources of Renewal, printed by Harper. And then we have the NIV, printed by Zondervan, which is a branch of Harper now. And so I see the NIV moving into some very, very sinister places. As a matter of fact, the New York branch of the NAACP has filed a complaint relating to the owner of the printing rights of the NIV, Mr. Murdoch. Mm. As I've been collating the NIV, I see them doing what I would call a whitewash in their NIV. You know, New Agers call the year 2000, or the 2000 years since Christ, they call it the Black Age, and they call Christians the Black Ones. Okay, in the NIV manuscript, Sinaiticus says the Black Ones should be put to death. Now, we're the Black Ones because they call themselves the Great White Brotherhood. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
If the New Age movement uses the word black to describe Christians who disagree with them, the word's got to disappear from any positive associations in the Bible. Now, if anyone cares to get a concordance and look for the word black in an NIV, they're not going to find it very often except for a few horses that have black hairs. Because, for example, in Nahum chapter 2, verse 10, it says, faces of them all gather blackness. Okay, the NIV changes that to every face grows pale. Now, pale.
Okay.
According to Rogers, thesaurus is a synonym for white. It's not a synonym for black. They do this again in Joel chapter 2, verse 6. When we move along to Song of Solomon, which is a type of the picture of the bride of Christ and Jesus Christ, where he's describing my love and my spouse, and says she is black, I am black, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5. They change that to just dark. She's not black anymore. So black isn't beautiful, according to the NIV.
Mm.
And then they get rid of black any way they can. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 21, where it says, I am black, it just says, I mourn in the NIV. Obviously not the same word. In Lamentations chapter 5, verse 10, it says, our skin was black. They change it to, our skin is hot. So any way they can, they seem to be wanting to get rid of black things there.
Maybe the Afro-American community ought to check into that.
Well, I don't think they want to use an NIV. There's a quotation in my book, New Age Bible Versions, from Mr. Hort, who wrote the Greek text underlying the NIV and the NASB, and he uses very derogatory terms about black people, and he says they've shown themselves immeasurably inferior, which is not true at all. And so I think that... there's an NIV whitewash going on there, Tex.
Well, it sure sounds like some racism to me.
Right.
Well, we're about out of time here for this first half of the program. We're going to break for just a moment or so, Gail. You stick right with us, please, because I have some things I want to ask you about the new order and the new versions. That's okay. Very, very interesting. And the fact that, well, the new versions might just be promoting a mean God. Mean, M-E-A-N, meaning just a very nasty God. And I don't think that's the kind of God we have, do you, Gail?
No, I don't think so, Tex.
All right. Friends, you stay with us. This is World of Prophecy with Tex Mars. My special guest, Gail Whiplinger, will be right back after this message. Friends, it's my delight here on World of Prophecy to have as my guest, Gail Whiplinger, from time to time. I think she's been on about four times, and I won't mind at all if she's on four more times in the coming months. The reason is very simple, because Gail Whiplinger believes in God's pure, preserved word. Now, she's put out two books. We're offering them as a set. One is entitled, Which Bible is God's Word? Which Bible is God's Word? Now, this book is about 118 pages long. And then we have a second book called Blind Guides. G.A. Whiplinger exposes critics of the King James Bible. Blind Guides. This is a large format book. It's, I don't know the exact size of it. It looks like about 9 by 13 or so. In other words, it's about twice the size of a normal book. It's about, 60 pages or so. Probably the equivalent of about a 175-page book. So basically two books, Which Bible is God's Word and Blind Guides. I've enjoyed reading Blind Guides because, as many of you know, Gail Whiplinger has been just savagely attacked by, let's just tell the truth about it, by blind guides. And you know what Jesus said about blind guides? Well, if you follow one, then both of you are going to fall into the ditch. And a lot of these men have fallen into the ditch, and they've gotten quite muddy and quite dirty by doing so. But such people as Dave Hunt and his sidekick, Mr. McMahon, at the Brian Call Ministry, they're the guys, you know, that say that although they prefer the King James Bible, there really is no perfect Bible available in all the world to Christians today to read. I don't understand a man like Dave Hunt saying such a thing. He says he's a prophecy teacher, but then he says there is nowhere on the face of the earth today a Bible that you and I can hold in our hands and read that is perfect. Well, I think Dave Hunt is a liar if he says that. I don't call him a liar, but God's Word does, because it says that His Word is perfect. It's without error. Every word of God is pure, Proverbs 30, verse 5. I want you to have these two books, Blind Guides and Which Bible is God's Word. You need them for your library. If you have Gail Whiplinger's book, New Age Bible Versions, you'll want these two books as well. Now, we're offering them for your love gift of $12. That's $12 to the ministry. Please add $2 for postage and handling, at a total of $14. Here's how you get these two great books. Just phone us right here in the continental United States, toll free, 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-WORD, W-O-R-D, or 9673. Use your charge cards, Master, Visa, Discover. Or you can write to us and send us a check or a money order, especially you folks listening overseas in New Zealand, Australia, Great Britain, and so forth. You can write and send your check or money order, and address your envelope to World of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, that's 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, A-U-S-T-I-N, Texas, USA, the zip code is 78733. And I guarantee you, within just two or three days, we'll have these things winging away in the mail right back to you. And you'll really have a blessing from these books by Gail Whiplinger, the newest books we have on our list right now, Defending the King James Bible, the book, Which Bible is God's Word, and Blind Guides. Just ask for the new Whiplinger set, two books for your love gift of $12. And now we're going to return to our regular program, being heard around the universe through the miracle of radio. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome back again. I'm with best-selling author, blessed by God, Mrs. Gail Whiplinger. Gail, you were telling me some things during the break that really were fascinating. One, you mentioned that a gentleman is evidently suing Oxford Press over something that he says he's offended by in the Bible.
Well, a man has filed suit in federal court, Tex, against the Oxford University Press for their release, the King James Bible, whom he claims, he's demanding $45 million in damage, but he claims that it is offensive to homosexuals because it says that homosexuality is a sin. And he's calling for the immediate deletion of all scripture verses that call homosexuality a sin. And he says that the King James Bible discriminates against homosexuals. Now, we don't see a lawsuit of this sort going against the NIV or the NASB or any of those Bibles because, in fact, the King James Bible is the only one that warns people of the dangers of this. This was reported in the San Francisco Sentinel on October 5th of 1994. You know, it's interesting. The NIV's printers, Rupert Murdoch, their Harper San Francisco branch, in their other Bible, has something called the Gospel of Thomas, and it says that women should make themselves men in order to be saved. And then in this other Bible, they've got something called the Paraphrase of Shem, and in that it says that the sodomite will rest with a pure conscience when all of it comes out in the wash. And so, obviously, these Harper San Francisco types are not being sued, but the poor King James printers are being sued. And I think this is just a foreshadowing of what may be coming in the future, Tex, of persecution against the Bible and censoring of the entire Bible.
Oh, I'm convinced of that. And this is an example. In other words, the Bible gives a very clear prohibition against homosexuality. It's just against the law of God. But the homosexual community hate that. And so they're suing $45 million trying to get the King James Bible to strike that those verses. And of course, I assume they're probably saying this is a hate crime and such as that. Well, I can sort of see what's on the horizon, can't you, Gail?
You're right, Tex. It's not good. But we have the new heaven and the new earth coming
well, you know,
to us.
I understand there's a Jewish group in New York, actually there's several, that are very angry and are also demanding changes in the King James Bible, because they don't like the parts of the Gospels where the Jews cry out, crucify him, meaning Jesus, and give us Barabbas. They say that's anti-Semitic, and it's anti-Jewish, which is unbelievably weird and bizarre, Gail, since Jesus came as the Messiah of the Jews and was Jewish, was from Israel. And the apostles were all Jews. Isn't that astonishing, then, that they would claim that that verse, written by the apostles who were Jews, who were inspired by God literally to write that, isn't it amazing that they would see something anti-Semitic about that?
Well, Jesus wept over Jerusalem and his people, and Christians weep too over those who have not received him as Savior, that no one would care to hurt them at all.
Well, I believe, no doubt, there will be found somewhere in the Middle East, in the Holy Lands, there will probably be found new manuscripts, probably in some old musty jars found in caves, that probably are missing things about homosexuality in the Old Testament. And maybe the Essenes will find a new one by them that doesn't have the account of the Gospels where Jesus was crucified at the instigation of the Jewish mobs. You know, that would be perfect, wouldn't it, for these new versions to say, we have a new, a better and older manuscript that we found in some cave somewhere, and we're going to take those things out of the Bible and make all the Jews today very happy. Can you sort of see that as a possibility?
I think they're ready over there at Harper San Francisco, Tex, with the NIV printing rights and with the printing rights to the other Bible that's got the Paraphrase of Shem and the Gospel of Thomas already in. I think the stage is already set.
I do, too. You know, a few years ago, I was at the Christian Booksellers Association convention. That's where all of these publishers all come together in this giant auditorium, Gail. And I think you've been there, right, before?
No, I haven't. I've just heard stories.
Okay. Well, I was walking down the aisles with my precious wife, Wanda, and there was Harper & Row San Francisco. and they had a great big booth. Now, this was at the Christian Booksellers Association. They're members of the Christian Booksellers Association, if you can believe that. Their publishing house. And I stopped because I could not believe the books that were there on their display racks and on their tables. The most ungodly, devilish books. I saw one that had a picture of the goddess on it, the great mother goddess. And it was really a promotion of witchcraft. And I looked at that, and I looked up at the gentleman, and I picked up that book, and I said, "Doesn't it make you feel dirty to come here and display a book like this, sir?" And you know, the guy just looked at me, and he just turned his head and tried to look the other way. And I really believe, Gail, that he did feel dirty. You know, I guess he probably said, "Well, I justify this. It's just a job for me." But he didn't refute one word what I said to him. When I said, "Don't you feel dirty coming here with these kinds of books at a Christian Booksellers Association?" But by the way, I do not doubt at all that I was the only one there that made a comment. In fact, I asked him. I asked the other people there, because he turned away. I asked the other people at that booth. I said, "Is there anybody complaining about these things?" And the guy said, "No, just you." And I says, "Well, there should be." It's amazing that the Christian Booksellers Association, these kind of people, don't want your book out there, right? The New Age Bible versions.
Well, it turns over the tables of the money changers, Tex, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but they don't mind a witchcraft book, a goddess-promoting book, right there at their own convention. That is unbelievable to me, but I understand it is the apostasy in the last days. You know, the Bible sort of indicates there's going to be a so-called new order, new age of Satan, but it doesn't use those words, but evidently the new Bible versions do.
Some of the Bible versions, texts like the NIV and the Good News Bible, are actually changing their jargon so that these words will become familiar to people. And I can give you some examples.
You mean familiar? You mean as good things?
Right. Put it in a Christian context.
Ah, like we should look forward to the new age or the new order.
Right. In Matthew 19, verse 28, where it says, "When the Son of Man shall sit on his throne." Now, we know that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne. The Good News Bible changes that to the New Age. The Contemporary English Version, the Amplified Version, the New American Bible, the New Berkeley Bible, they all change that to the New Age when the Son of Man will sit on his throne. Well, it isn't the New Age, it's the regeneration.
The New Age. That brings to mind Matthew 24. Jesus, you know, his disciples ask him, "What will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" But the new versions change it to the end of the age.
That's right. The Revised Standard Version changes that to the new world. So we have a new world and a new age. And then in the NIV, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10, where it's talking about the time of Reformation, which again is also this time when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne, the NIV changes that to the new order. And so we've got the new age and the new world and the new world order. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the New English Bible, which is the one recommended by Dave Hunt in his Archon Conspiracy, says the old order has gone, the new order has already begun. Now, the King James said, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It's talking about the new birth in Christ. It's not talking about a political order or a religious order. It's talking about a new creature.
Now, which one has changed that?
The New English Bible says the old order. Now, the NIV also says the old order in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, where the King James says the former things were passed away. But the NIV says the old order. So the jargon of the old order, the new age, and the new world is perpetrated upon the reader of the NIV and the Good News Bible.
You know, I have a book right here in my library entitled My New Order. The author is Adolf Hitler.
Oh, my goodness.
Adolf Hitler, My New Order. And so this, you're right, this term, the new order, the new world order, the new age, all of these, of course, have a deep occultic significance. and they're known among the secret societies as code words and euphemisms for the coming age of their great god, Lucifer, the sun god of the ancients. And it's very, very compelling to find these, as you have researched and found them in the new versions. Now, Gail, I was recently reading a book entitled A Pilgrim's Progress by a man named John Robinson. Robinson was a Mason. He recently died. He talked in his book about why he became a Mason, and that what it really is a Christian bashing book. But it has become one of the top books promoted today by International Freemasonry, this book by Robinson entitled A Pilgrim's Progress. One of the key parts of that book is significant, and I'd like your comments on it in relation to your research on the new versions. Because Mr. Robinson says that Freemasons have gotten a bum rap. And he goes on to say, and I'm going to paraphrase him, but it will be accurate. Mr. Robinson says that Albert Pike, the former sovereign grand commander of Freemasonry, the Scottish Rite Freemasons, in his book, Morals and Dogma, which is basically the Bible of Freemasonry, that he says that Lucifer is God and is the God of goodness, all right, and of the light. And we should worship Lucifer. Well, obviously, this is very evil, just satanic. But Mr. Robinson says that unfortunately, the King James Bible has made a terrible mistake by claiming that Lucifer is the devil. He said we need to rehabilitate Lucifer because he is not the devil. He is a good angel come to help mankind. And Robinson goes on to say, thankfully, we now have the new versions. And he actually, Gail, mentions the Revised Standard Version, RSV. He thanks the editors of the new versions for clearing up this matter about Lucifer by taking out references to Lucifer being the devil and rehabilitating the image of the great Masonic deity, Lucifer. Now, again, it's a paraphrase, but I think it's an accurate representation of what Mr. Robinson said. And this book is being promoted very heavily by Masonic lodges around the United States. What about this? Did Lucifer get a bum rap? And has this been corrected by the new versions, Gail?
Well, as you know, Tex, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, the King James describes the fall of Lucifer, and it uses his name there, and it says, Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground? So we have the fall of Lucifer there in the King James. Now, in the NIV, they've omitted the name Lucifer. This is the only time the name Lucifer appears in the Bible at all, and they've substituted the word morning star, which we find in Revelation chapter 22 as Jesus Christ. So they've tried to make a correlation, pretending that Jesus Christ and Lucifer are the same person.
Mm.
As we were talking earlier about Harper San Francisco's book, The Other Bible, there's a chapter in there called the Menachian Version of Genesis. And in that Menachian version, it says that Jesus is the serpent. And so throughout history of the Gnostics, they have tried to say that those two people are interchangeable. Now, in the United Church of Christ, they have a new hymnal that's come out this summer, and they've sold 1.7 million copies so far. But in that, there's a song by Brian Wren, and it says, "Bring many names." In other words, then it doesn't really matter what you call God. You can bring any name. It could be Lucifer. It could be Jesus. It could be Morning Star. You can scramble them. We know in Deuteronomy that it said destroy the names of the false gods. Now, there's also a number one best-selling book on the USA Today's bestseller list, number one, called Memnoch the Devil by Anne Rice. And in that, there's a quote that says, don't use the names Satan, so it's out of the Luke chapter 4 in the NIV. Don't use the name Lucifer, so it's out of Isaiah chapter 14. that these are scriptural compromises. And that, it's, of course, as you know, in Gnosticism, they have the God with the unknown name. But he said in Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High. He's trying to take on the persona of God. Now, looking at the etymology of the word Lucifer, Lucifer is a perfect translation, and no one can convince me that morning star is an appropriate translation, because the word for star, which is kokab in Hebrew, is not there in chapter 12 anywhere. Now, God wanted to show everyone that he knew what the word star was, and he used it in Isaiah 14, verse 13, when he talked about the stars of God. So the word kokab is there in verse 14. It is not there in verse 13. So there is no star in that verse. The word that's there, Hillel, in Hebrew is shining one, and we actually have the verb form of that in Job chapter 29, verse 3, where it says his candle shined. So the word does mean shining, and as it came down from the prehistoric Western Germanic derivation of luctam, in Latin, lux meaning light, pharaoh meaning bearer, it's the perfect translation based on the Indo-European roots of our language. Even in Greek, the word is leucos, L-E-U-C-O-S. And so whenever someone wants to say shining, they use the word luke or light or lumen or lucid, or all those words within our language mean light. And so that's the word that's there in the Hebrew, and it should be there in English. And for someone to pretend the word star should be there, they are misrepresenting the Hebrew text. As a matter of fact, when God wanted to say morning star, he did it in Job chapter 38, verse 7, Bokar Kokab, and it says the morning star is saying together. He knows how to use that word in Hebrew. He did not use that term in Isaiah 14, chapter 12. So the scholars are lying to the people there, and they know that they're lying to the people.
They're lying, and what they're doing is causing people to not understand who Lucifer is. In other words, they've taken Lucifer out. They have, in Robinson's word, rehabilitated Lucifer, or they tried to, of course, but God won't let them because we still have the King James, the pure word of God. This is an unbelievable thing. You know, friends, let me just say this right now. If there was anything at all that you had a question about these false Bibles, go to Isaiah 14, verse 12. There, God's word, the King James Bible, shows you very clearly that Lucifer has a destiny. Lucifer is the name of Satan, and his destiny is the pit of hell. That's what it says there in Isaiah chapter 14. But if you go to the new versions, like Mrs. Ripplinger is telling you, you will find the name Lucifer just very mysteriously lifted out, and it virtually becomes then the bright in the morning star, according to Revelation. He's the one, Jesus Christ, headed for the pit. Now, this literally is the most hellish thing I have ever seen and conceived in my entire life, and you'll find it in the new Bible versions. Doesn't it make sense here? The Masons are trying to cover up who the true meaning of who their god Lucifer is, and the new versions are trying to help them. I wonder how many of these new editors of the new versions are Masons, Gail. I don't know if you've ever done any research on that. I do know, you know, the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have one reference to God and Christ, and they call him the Grand Master, which is very understandable because Mr. Russell, who founded the Jehovah's Witnesses, was a hardcore Freemason, and he uses their symbols, and his tomb where he is buried is a pyramid, shaped like a pyramid. And it appears like there's some real connections here with the secret societies such as Masonry and such, and the new versions. If you ever have an opportunity to investigate that, it could be very, very revealing. Now, evidently, there is also a Catholic connection with the new versions.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, the evangelicals and Catholics together, that document, very interesting text, the jargon that's used in that. They use the term the Christ, the One, in reference to their God. That's who they talk about, or the only Christ. And as you know, in my book, I talked about the use of the word the Christ as a New Age term, the One as a New Age term. And so even the jargon that they're using in this document, evangelicals and Catholics together, is very New Age. But it appears that the farther the evangelicals distance themselves from belief in an infallible Bible, the closer they move to believing in an infallible Pope. You know, the Pope's book that I mentioned, that's published by the same people that are printing the NIV, the Pope's book, Sources of Renewal, says on page 328, little by little, all will be gathered together into the unity of the one and only church. He said little by little. And so we have the NIV based on the Vaticanus manuscript. Whenever it says in the NIV footnotes, the best manuscripts, as you know, they're referring to the Vaticanus, which is the Vatican manuscript, okay? Now, moving up into the current Greek text, the second and third century, the second and third editions of the United Bible Society's Greek text, the gentleman that was on that committee is Cardinal Carlo Maria Martini.
Uh-oh.
There were five men on the committee. One of them is a Roman Catholic cardinal. Now, Time magazine in January 1995 says that Cardinal Carlo Maria Martini is the man most likely to be the next pope. And so what we have is a new Bible written by the man who's most likely to be the next pope, and that being the NIV. Now, Martini was also the man who negotiated and signed the mutual recognition agreement with Israel. He said he wanted to die in Jerusalem, so he may very well be the one who will sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. Now, Martini is also the same man who works as head of the Pontifical Biblical Institute. And his treatise, The Interpretation of the Bible in the Church, back in 1994, said that fundamentalists were dangerous. So we have a man who thinks fundamentalists are dangerous editing the Bible, and then it's in Protestant churches. And no wonder we have evangelicals and Catholics together. You know, when you look in the NIV in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, it's good for a man not to marry. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And then it goes on to say that to avoid fornication, everyone should marry. But there it says in the NIV, it's not good for a man to marry. So that's a definite Roman Catholic rendering there. Even in Luke chapter 6, verse 48, the King James says that the church is founded upon a rock. And we know that's Jesus Christ. The NIV just says it was well built. There's a completely different rendering there. And it's interesting, in Zondervan's most recent printings of the dedication in front of their King James Bibles, they no longer capitalize man of sin. Now, that always referred to the Pope. The Reformers thought that the man of sin was the Pope. The King James translators thought the man of sin was the Pope, and that's why they capitalized it. But now that it's being published by the same publisher as the man of sin, they don't capitalize it anymore. It's all lowercase man of sin, so it just looks like anyone who sins.
Boy, I tell you, there's, you know, in my research has shown also that Thomas Nelson, the founder of Thomas Nelson Publishers, that puts out, what, the New King James?
Right, uh-huh.
He was a Catholic.
That's right.
Yeah, he was a Catholic. And he was also the founder of CAN Publishers, a Catholic press that stands for his name, of course, the initials T-A-N, TAN Publishers.
Well, you know, one day, Tex, I was sitting with some papers on my desk, one of them being the head paper from TAN Publishers, and it said T-A-N on it. And the other letter that I happened to have on my desk was from Spring Arbor. Well, the logo for Spring Arbor is an S that looks like a snake next to a tree that looks like an A. And, you know, I have an MFA with a lot of courses in art history text, and the logo or the symbol of a tree with an erect serpent standing next to it has been one that's permeated the world since the fall of Adam and Eve. And so when I saw that S and that A, and I was praying and said to the Lord, you know, what is going on here? And he showed me, and I'm looking at the papers on my desk, and it said S-A-T-A-N. There it was.
Boy.
Right on my desk.
Wow, that is amazing. Gail, it has been so good for you to be my guest. We're out of time. And even with that, we needed to discuss that many more minutes, but we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on World of Prophecy today.
It's my privilege, Tex.
Well, it's a blessing to us as well. Friends, Gail Wipplinger has been my guest. This is Tex Mars. Will you tune in each week during the same time? Tune in and discover a world of prophecy.
You've been listening to World of Prophecy with your host, Tex Mars.